Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Поездка в Китай звучит неплохо, если быть осторожным. Неделя длинная.
So what do you think?
Sounded familiar.
What?
The music. The music right there at the end.
Why are you listening to the music, Steve? Listen to the Russian. We're translating Russian.
I'm trying to listen to the Russian, but there's
All
music
right,
playing.
Babysitting time is over. You need to get in there. Hey, my board. That was important data, shitbirds.
I guarantee you what we're doing is way more important than your data.
Oh. Yeah?
Yeah.
And how do you know these Russians are up to no good anyways?
How does she know about the Russians?
Oh, no.
You thought about the Russians.
It wasn't me.
Hello, I can hear you. Actually, I can hear everything. You are both extremely loud. You think you have evil Russians plotting against our country on tape, and you're trying to translate, but you haven't figured out a single word because you didn't realize the Russians use an entirely different alphabet than we do. Sound about right?
Well, 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 look who's back, everybody. When I tell you that I'm waiting until the last second to get this up as a Friday podcast, okay, it is right now a little after 10 o'clock, and yeah, I got about 2 hours to get this finished and get it up to you, so why don't we just jump right in to Stranger Things 3, Chapter 2, The Mallrats. This episode opens up pretty much where we left off before. We're at Brimborne Steelworks, where Billy was dragged down at the end of the last episode. He kind of wakes up bloodied and battered, but he appears that he got away. Jumps into his beat-up car, which I guess, I don't know why he did just drive off last time, but it's still drivable. He got the hell out of there, and he raced off and drove right up to a payphone where he called 911. Now, while he's on the phone with 911, like, lights flashing, and we're seeing kind of a flashback of what happened. He gets dragged down into the factory basement. Rats are everywhere, and this giant kind of limb, this face hugger thing, attaches itself to Billy's face. And all this seems to be running through his mind while he's on the phone. The 911 operator is like, 911, what's your emergency? And then poof, the power seems to go out. But no, the power didn't go out. Your boy Billy, he's in the upside down. We see this red lightning off, flashing off in the distance. And Billy's just standing there. And he starts asking,
"What do you want?"
screaming, "What do you want?" And this shadowy group of people start walking to him, something we've never seen before in the Upside Down. And they're being led by someone, by Billy himself. He faces himself, looks right at himself, like not looking at himself in the mirror, he's looking at himself as the opening credits roll. After the credits end, we open up to the following day. We're at Eleven and Hopper's cottage, cabin, whatever you want to call it. But Eleven's just pacing around the cabin, looking out, looking into the woods. She's looking for Mike, who hasn't shown up yet. She calls over to his house, and it's like 9:32. He probably was supposed to be there at 9:30, and it's 9:32. And this is the first time he's ever been late. So, it took only 2 minutes for her to call over to the Weaver.
Hello, this is the Wheelers. Yeah, just a sec. Mike!
Mom! Okay.
Hello?
It's 9:32. Where are you?
Sorry, I was just about to call. Can't see you today.
What? Why not?
It's my Nana. She's very sick.
But Hop said that your Nana was okay, that it was a false alarm.
Yeah, that's what we thought it was at first, but then she took a real turn for the worse.
Oh.
Yeah. We think she might die.
What?
Mom, get off the phone!
How many times?
Did Nana call?
No, Mom, just get off the phone!
I thought this was a pretty funny moment because Mrs. Wheeler is listening in to see what Mike is up to. And Mike's keeping with the grandma excuse that why he can't come over today. And you could see that Elle isn't buying it. She's actually, she's really pissed. Like she hangs up the phone and Hopper must have really scared Mike, something good. She goes into the room, slams the door, and Hopper, he is just loving it. Like this big grin comes over his face. I want to take a moment to talk about Jim Hopper really quick. I've seen articles. First of all, people are focusing on a fictional character, writing articles about this person like it's a real man, saying Jim Hopper has anger issues, and that's a problem. Jim Hopper's a different character this year, and we're not okay with that. I hate the world of today where, like, everything... And first of all, I blame Google for popping these into my news stories because I like Stranger Things. They think I like these articles. I do not. Some actresses like, dating someone like Jim Hopper is not okay, people. And they're like, it's not a real person. It's a character from the 80s. Still doesn't make it okay. It's like, shut the hell up. First of all, David Harbour acts his ass off in this season. Jim Hopper is a flawed character. Guess what? He's also awesome. So if you don't like Jim Hopper, then maybe you don't like me, okay? But Stranger Danger is a strictly Hopper-happy place, okay? We love Jim Hopper, and we always will. So if you don't like it, you're going to have to deal with it because we're Hopper all the way, baby. Anyway. He's all excited. He gets into his Jeep. He's singing Jim Croce. Don't mess around with Jim. Get it? Jim Hopper and Jim Croce. What a song. And he's all happy as he pulls into Joyce's store to kind of tell her all about the excitement that it worked.
Emotions have been shared. Boundaries have been set. Order has been restored.
Wait, it worked?
This is the first day in 6 long, excruciating months that they will not be seeing each other. Yes, I think it worked! Yes! No, stop. It's all you. I'm a puppet. You're the master.
So you remembered everything?
Yeah. I mean, I had to improvise a little bit, It turns out getting to Mike, that was the key.
And you didn't yell at him.
I'll tell you everything over dinner. I was thinking, you know, Enzo's tonight, 7 o'clock. Hey, before you say no, I'd like to make one thing crystal clear. This is not a date.
Wait, a date? You never said anything about a date.
I know. I didn't say anything about a date. I just wanted to clear it up in case there was any confusion on your part.
There's not.
Great. It's just two friends getting together for a nice dinner. I mean, we've earned it, haven't we?
I can't be out late.
You'll be home by 9.
8.
8:30. I'll pick you up.
I'll meet you there.
7. Enzo's. Meeting there. Deal.
I see what you did there, Jim. See, you're all excited. You used Joyce's help. So she really was part of this win. And now you can go celebrate it together at Enzo's over dinner. 8 o'clock. Maybe it was 7 o'clock. I don't know. But see, he's been trying to get Joyce to go out with him. Trying for so long. And it seems like it might have finally actually worked. But while he's, you know, finally getting Joyce to go out with him, he gets a call from one of his deputies. He needs to get over to town hall right away. Deputy's like, if you want to keep your job, you need to get over here because there are a ton of protesters. So he rushes out, but on the way out, he almost trips over magnets, more magnets on the ground. Joyce goes over, tries to stick them back, but again, nothing's sticking. Joyce is really, you could see that this is piquing her interest. Something weird is happening. It is Hawkins. Things do happen there. So this wouldn't be the first time or the second time. So, you know, she has this intuition. She knows something's up. And somehow it's related to the magnets. We cut over to the newspaper and Nancy's there. She's pouring coffee out for all the jerks. But really, she's not focused on the coffee at all. In fact, it overflows. She's focused on that call she got last night about the sick rats over at Mrs. Driscoll's house. And you know, Nancy, she's not going to let this go. If she thinks something's important, she doesn't really care about pouring coffee for these people. She goes into the boss's office and she's like, you know, can you get one of the other girls to get lunch? He's like, why? They're needed at their desks. And she uses the kind of the oldest trick in the book for a young woman to creep out an older man. She needs to go to the doctor for quote unquote girl problems. And the guy was like, oh, okay. He just kind of like said, you know, go do your thing. So she bursts into the doc room, gets Jonathan and said, come on, let's go.
Look, I just don't know if this is such a good idea anymore.
Really? Because I feel like it's the best idea I've had all summer.
Look, all I'm saying is, what harm is there in asking?
The harm in asking is that Tom will say no. We ask for forgiveness, not permission. And if the story's as good as I think it's going to be, then Tom won't care. In fact, he'll thank us.
Or the old lady is nuts, and the story blows up in her face, and Tom fires us.
And then we never have to work at the shithole again.
I always like that saying, ask for forgiveness, not permission. Basically, because it's like if you're behind something, if you believe in something, go for it. If it doesn't work, or if the people that you work for aren't into it, then you ask for forgiveness. But you kind of go for it first, because if you ask for permission, they might say no in the first place, and the whole thing could have been great, didn't happen. Anyway, they drive off to begin their adventure, and we cut over to the Starcourt Mall, where Dustin shows up at Scoops Ahoy to see his old buddy Steve the Hare Harrington.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Dustin.
I'm Robin.
Pleasure to meet you. Is he here?
Is who here?
Henderson.
Henderson. He's back. He's back.
I'm back. You got the job.
You got the job. Hooray. Oh.
How many children are you friends with?
I love this for many reasons. First of all, Steve and Dustin together are great, the two characters. But second of all, you know, they really have continued their friendship that happened in season 2, where Dustin really looks up to Steve. But I also loved that Dustin went right up to Robin and said, "Hi, I'm Dustin," as if to say, "I'm the Dustin, the one that Steve's been talking about. Like, you obviously know who I am. I'm obviously here to see Steve. Is he here?" Like, just the way he was like, "It's me. I'm here. I did it." I just loved that Dustin just assumed that. I thought that was hilarious. So they go and catch up a little bit. Dustin has this giant bowl of ice cream. And Robin says some sarcastic thing. And Dustin's like, "She seems cool." And Dustin and Steve's like, "She's not." But it wasn't in a like mean way. It was almost in a like, you know, just like, "Yeah, don't worry about her. Don't worry about her." But it, right away, you could see that Dustin was kind of planting the seeds of, are you going to try to date Robin? And Steve never thought about it once. But then they start talking about where is everybody? And Dustin talks about how the gang all ditched him. Well, he talks a little bit about Susie and how he keeps saying Phoebe Cates, and she's smart. But he talks about how the gang ditched him and how they're really going to regret it because of a little secret that he came across.
Where are the other knuckleheads?
They ditched me yesterday.
No.
My first day back. Can you believe that shit?
Whoa, seriously?
I swear to God. They're going to regret it, though. Big time. When they don't get to share in my glory.
Glory? What glory?
So last night, I was trying to get in contact with Susie.
Oh.
And, what?
Just speak louder.
I intercepted a secret Russian communication.
Jeez. Yeah, okay, that's what I thought you said. Wait, what does that mean?
It means, Steve, we could be heroes. True American heroes.
Huh. American heroes.
Just think, you could have all the ladies you want and more.
More?
More.
I like more.
I love these guys together. Steve's like, "So what's the catch?" And Dustin's like, "There's no catch. I just need your help with translation." So he tells Steve about the secret Russian communication. I just love that whole scene. It was very funny. Steve's in. He's in. He wants to get all these women, and he wants to become a true American hero. We cut over to Max, who's skateboarding outside her house, I think. And she's trying to ollie, which is, you know, like, it's basically a simple skateboarding trick where you jump and you try to get the skateboard to jump with you. And it's a trick I've never, ever been able to figure out. Anyway, she kicks the skateboard out from under her, and it rolls down the road a bit. But it stops when a foot kicks it up, and we look, and it's 11, and she is not happy. She tells Max what Mike said over the phone, and Max is not buying it. She knows that he's lying.
He's a piece of shit.
What?
Mike doesn't have jack shit to do today, and his Nana obviously isn't sick. I guarantee you, him and Lucas are playing Atari right now.
But friends don't lie.
Yeah, well, boyfriends lie. All the time.
You have to remember that even though there's this giant supernatural thing going on in the world, our main characters are 14-year-olds, so, or 15 at this point, maybe, I'm not sure. So they are still dealing with young love and having to deal with being a boyfriend and having a girlfriend, or not dealing with it, as at least one of them seems to be doing. Over at Mike's house is a very similar conversation happening between Mike and Lucas. Mike is convinced that 11 knows he's lying. Lucas doesn't really understand what the big deal is, but Mike said that Hopper's crazy and that he better do exactly what he said, or he said he'd kill him. Or he wouldn't kill him. He said he'd stop them from seeing each other permanently. And while the two of them are talking about girls, there's Sweet Will just setting up a board game. We cut back and forth between the boys and the girls. Lucas is convinced that Mike screwed things up, and Max is talking 11 into giving him a taste of his own medicine. And if he doesn't fix it, you dump his ass. Lucas is like, "It's bad, but you can win her back." He said, "Max broke up with me 5 times, and I won her back every time. He'll show Max how." He'll show Mike how, actually. Max and Eleven run off for a fun day to go have fun someplace. We don't know yet. And Lucas and Mike run off to help Mike get Eleven back. And there's sweet Will.
I'm still here. Guys?
It's played as a joke, but it's a little sad because he's the guy who basically got left behind, or at least forgotten for a moment. Maybe they didn't leave him behind, but maybe it's like, you got to keep up with us, Will. The boys are only focused on girls, and he wasn't even really paying attention to their conversation. He just wants to play his game, like they did before. We cut over to the pool where the girl lifeguard is working, and well, it seems like all the moms hate that. They're like, even her voice is annoying. They just can't wait for her to get off shift so that Billy can show up and finally start working. But Billy does show up. No one notices him right away except Mrs. Wheeler. She kind of sees him quietly slunk into work, and she's like, I'm going to go off to the bathroom. And she actually follows him right into the back where he is, I guess, going to be getting changed for work. Because she wanted to talk to him for a minute and explain what happened.
It's not you. It's just, I have a family. And I can't do anything that will hurt them. You can understand that, right? But I shouldn't have said that. Billy. Billy. Please. Will you talk to me?
Stay away from me, Karen.
Couple things there. I like that he called her Karen, like, because he's an adult now. I am surprised that he said stay away from me, considering what we know at the end of the show. You'd think he'd want to get as many people as possible. But you know what? He wasn't fully there yet, I'm guessing. He wasn't fully kind of in where he ends up being. So maybe he's just pissed off at her and saying, get the hell away from me. When in the show, in the episode where we see his thoughts, where he turns, takes Karen's head and bashes it up against the shelving, I jumped. I have to admit, I was like, oh my God. And I thought this was going to be a major part in the storyline and Mrs. Wheeler was going to play a bigger part in all of this. It didn't turn out to be that case, but luckily it was all in his head. And when he just says, stay away from me, Karen, he walks back out to the pool area and you can see he's messed up. He keeps his shirt on. Every sound, every light, it just seems to be, everything is super sensitive to him. He finally makes it over to the lifeguard stand, just like barely, and just kind of just plops in there and sits in there. Back at the mall, we see Lucas's sister, Erica. She's with her friends at Scoops. She's sampling a bunch of flavors, and it seems like Robin had enough with her. She's like, haven't you tried everything here? She goes, yes, and I want to try them again. She calls for Steve to actually give her a little help doing the job that he's supposed to be doing, but he is too busy. Too busy in the back of the ice cream store in the mall trying to crack an intercepted Russian secret communication. It's that sentence right there that makes me love Stranger Things so much. So they're listening, and this is the clip that I had that opened this episode. Steve recognizes the music playing in the background of the recording, and Dustin's like, focus on the Russian. But that's a nice little clue of something that we see later in the episode. Anyway, Robin comes in and says it's your turn to start slinging ice cream, and she wants to help translating the Russian. She knows four languages, and she was in band. Her ears are little geniuses. And they're like, huh? What? Did you tell her? I didn't tell her. Did you tell her? And she's like, yeah, you guys aren't really that quiet. So she basically just overheard everything and she wants in. Meanwhile, we cut over to Jonathan's car as he and Nancy pull up into the Driscoll residence. They want to follow up on that phone call. That's the reason they left the paper in the first place. It's all about Nancy's hunch. And guess what? Her hunch is right. This old lady answers the door, lets them in. She lives alone. Her husband passed about 10 years ago, but she's like, yeah, you know, I kind of like the quiet. Or at least she did before all this happened. And that's when she lets them down into the basement to show them fertilizer.
You see those little teeth marks, don't you?
And these bags, you're sure they were full before?
I'm old, honey, not senile. Bought them over at Blackburn Supplies just last Tuesday. Now you tell me, why would rats want to eat a poor old woman's fertilizer?
Are you sure they did? Maybe they just gnawed the bag? I mean, eating fertilizer seems...
Crazy, believe me, I know, honey. But something's not right with these rats.
What does that mean exactly, not right?
Rabies, my guess. That's when I said to myself, Doris, you gotta call the paper. Because if those diseased rats are running loose, the people, they ought to know. Wouldn't you agree? Oh, yes, I forgot to mention. Come on over here. I caught one of the little bastards.
So I guess rats eating bags of fertilizer is weird. Weird enough to call the paper? I don't know. But weird enough to get Nancy's attention. And it seems like there is these rats are not just eating fertilizer, but they're downright crazy. Well, we know they explode. But this rat that they think maybe has rabies, Mrs. Driscoll caught it, and it's in a cage, and it's just slamming around like crazy. So we cut over to Hawkins Town Hall, where people are protesting outside and chanting, Klein's a swine, Klein's a swine. And they're holding signs that say, support downtown, protect our businesses, mom and pop versus the mall. So all these people seem to be local business owners that are protesting the mayor for allowing this mall to be built inside in Hawkins. Inside the town hall, we see the back of some dude who it looks like a big guy, and he's carrying a motorcycle helmet. He walks right by Hopper, and who seems to be noticing Mayor Klein. He seems like he walked out of a meeting with Mayor Klein. And Hopper's waiting to see Mayor Klein. He kind of looks at this guy, the big guy. He doesn't really take notice of him, but he registers with him. He looks at him, but doesn't think much about it. And now it's time for him to go talk to Mayor Klein. And guess who Mayor Klein is, my friends? It's Cary Elwes. You may know him from such films as Saw, and Robin Hood, Men in Tights. But ladies and gentlemen, let's not forget, he is best known for being the young, dashing Wesley in The Princess Bride. And here he is playing a swindly, crooked, slimy mayor, Mayor Klein. The man that everyone is protesting out there. And the reason he has Jim there, well, Jim calls them his fan club, which I thought was pretty funny. But it seems like he wants Jim to get them off his property.
My fan club, as you call them. Now, you know why they're out there, don't you?
They're not actually fans?
They lost their jobs to the mall and blame me for helping make that happen. Now, you go ask anyone else in this town. They all love the mall. It's helped our economy grow, brought in new jobs, and just some incredible new stores. Which is why they all stop shopping at their mom and pops. Now, that's not me, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
That's just good old-fashioned American capitalism.
Well, Larry, I think that they're just exercising their good old-fashioned American right to protest.
I agree.
Yeah.
If they had a permit. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, Jim, but I don't believe they secured a permit from your office. Did they?
Not that I'm aware of.
Then I do believe it's within my right to get rid of them.
Larry, I'm not a politics guy, but I think if you force those people out of here without provocation, I don't think that's a good look for your re-election campaign.
You know what's in 4 days, Jim?
Independence Day?
That's right. And I'm going to throw this town the biggest bash it's ever seen. Fireworks, music, activities, you name it. I'm going to pull out all the stops. You know why? Because at the end of the day, that's all the voters will remember. But I can't think, much less plan, with all that racket going on out there. So, if you don't mind, please, just do your job. flash your little gold badge and get rid of them.
So this mayor, who's being protested for bringing the mall into Hawkins, wants Jim to get rid of them because of the little loophole that they don't have a permit. So it's in his legal right to, quote unquote, do his job and get them off his property. And he even said, you know, Jim's like, I don't think this is really good for your voters. And he's like, in 4 days, I'm going to be throwing this giant 4th of July party. And at that point, that's all the voters are going to care about. So he doesn't even give them credit for, like, remembering this. He's like, they're going to love the party. They're going to vote for me. It's going to be great. Very slimy, you know, small town mayor who seems to be doing, you know, cares only about himself. I love it because it just has that kind of 80s movie villain. Not a complete villain, but, you know, he's kind of the middleman, or he's someone you can root against. Anything that bad happens to him, you kind of don't mind. In fact, you enjoy it. We cut over to a bus that's pulling up to the Starcourt Mall, and who get out but Eleven and Max. Eleven's nervous because she's never been there. There are too many people, and she says it's against the rule. But Max is like, you have superpowers. What's the worst that could happen? Max, you were there last year. You weren't there the year before, but you were there last year. You know the worst that can happen, and it usually happens. They go inside, and Eleven is in awe. She's like, you know, just looking in circles, and she's like, what do we do? And Max is like, you've never been shopping? You know, let's just look at everything. And she's like, she's going to give her the time of her life. And of course, they start by running into the Gap. Meanwhile, Mike, Lucas, and Will, they're also at the mall. We pan over, and they're walking through the mall, and Mike is trying to find the perfect gift to get to Eleven to say he's sorry. We're kind of cutting back and forth. Inside the Gap, Eleven sees a shirt, and she's like, wow. You know, she seems like she's never seen something so bright and wonderful. Max is like, do you like it? And she's like, how do I know if I like it? You got to find something that's you, something that you know, that speaks to you. Not for Hopper, not for Mike, but for you. And that seemed to really resonate with her. We cut over from there to Melville's. I can never pronounce it right. They're in the downtown, and the downtown streets seem basically deserted. There's no customers showing up. And that's fine for Joyce because she's not even really working. She's reading up and researching electromagnetics. I mean, when Joyce pushes herself into something, she goes headfirst right in. She has this idea. She realizes, I'm not going to just work on electromagnetics. I can't figure this out myself. Who knows the most about this kind of stuff? And she shows up at Mr. Clark's house. She's ringing the doorbell, but he's inside, too busy to notice anything right away, listening to My Bologna by Weird Al and working on his little miniatures. Joyce almost leaves, but then the garage opens and he's kind of sitting there triumphant with his short shorts and his pulled up socks and his welding mask, or his, not his welding mask, his magnifying glass on. And he's like, Mrs. Byers? We cut over to the Driscoll house, and Jonathan is taking photos of the rat that's going crazy in the cage. And he's like, stand still so I can take a photo of you. And that's when you realize how things have changed. You know, now he would take a video of that and send it off to his coworkers and be like, look, there's a crazy story going on here. We got to look at this now. But he's trying to take photos. Well, Nancy's upstairs. She's calling, seems like she's calling exterminators and fertilizer companies, asking about rats or rabid rats. She continues to make calls. Downstairs, the rat's just going crazy, crazy, crazy. And then it just kind of keels over and is struggling to breathe. And Jonathan's like, oh my God, what's going on? And Nancy's like, come on, we have a lead. Jonathan's like, but something's wrong with that rat. She's like, yeah, no shit. Come on, we got to go. They both head off. They leave. And of course, the moment they leave, the lights flicker and the rat explodes into goo. Goo! And that goo actually starts to move. It starts sliding through the cage, lands on the floor, and then it starts running and crawling across the room. What the hell? And from there, boom, we're back in the underground.
I said, what do you want?
to build. I want you to build.
To build what?
What you see.
I don't understand. I don't understand! What do you mean, I don't understand?
Boom! We wake up. Well, Billy wakes up, and he's sitting there right at the pool. So we went from the goo, the pile of guts crawling across right into the underground, but it was a flashback or a dream that Billy was having where we finished the conversation that he was having with himself, where the whatever it is in the upside down says, I want you to build. He's like, build what? Build what you see. I don't understand. You know, looking back now and seeing what happens, what and how Billy is part of what happens, when they say build, it makes sense now. You know, you know what he's building. If you've watched all these episodes, you know what he's building. And you know how he builds it. The what you see, I don't know. I don't know how that works exactly. But it was creepy. It was very cool. And he wakes up and, you know, he's still on duty at the pool, so hopefully nobody drowned. His arm seems to be all burnt, and he's just been sitting there so long. He's really out of it. He's all sweaty and gross looking. He heads to the showers, and the girl lifeguard is asking if he's okay. He just kind of rushes right by them, taking a cold shower. Then he sees on his arm, like what I thought was just a sunburn, seems to be spreading. This like blackness, and then we see flashes of the mind flayer, and then he just like he can't really take it. He curls up in the shower, and the girl lifeguard shows up to see if he's okay. But that's not what he sees.
Take me to him.
What?
I said, are you hurt? What's going on? I heard screaming. Should I call an ambulance?
I really love the way this episode was kind of constructed. We see things like at that moment when she's at the shower asking if, you know, he needs an ambulance, you kind of see this quick moment of him like lunging. You don't know what it is, and boom, it cuts away. And what's funny is that it cuts away into a classic 80s montage, like completely opposite of the darkness that we just saw. We go into some light. But what I also like is that we are seeing things like later on, we see more of that scene. And right now we saw more of, or just a few minutes ago, we saw more of the upside down scenes kind of being told not in completely linear fashion. And I'm always appreciative of that because it makes you as the viewer put two and two together sometimes, makes you do some of the work yourself. And that's what you're watching these shows for, to be entertained, but slightly to be challenged and kind of figure things out. But it cuts over to this 80s montage, which is Material Girl played by Madonna as Eleven is trying on all these clothes. At the same time this is happening, the boys are shopping for gifts and they're failing miserably. Meanwhile, the girls are having a blast. The boys are spraying perfume on each other and coughing and, you know, their eyes are getting burned. And the girls are taking glamour shots and trying on high heels. Eleven even uses her superpowers for pranks. Some of the girls, while they tried on high heels, were giving them dirty looks. So she blows up their Orange Julius in their hands. So the girls are, and they are freaking out, laughing, having so much fun. And Max is just like, there's more to life than stupid boys. The boys are just miserable. And all young Will wants to do is go back and play D&D. Back at Scoops Ahoy, Dustin and Robin are going over the Russian recording still. They figure out a word. And with that, Robin is able to figure out their first sentence.
We've got our first sentence.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. The week is long.
Well, that's thrilling.
I know, but progress.
Robin's already made more progress than Steven and Dustin had for all the time they were trying to figure it out. Steve... You know, he's like, what the hell's the week is long mean? They don't know yet. He turns to give ice cream to Max and Eleven. And he's like, are you guys even supposed to be here? They just giggle and run off. They go outside the mall, and who do they run into but the boys?
What are you doing here?
Shopping. This is her new style. What do you think?
What's wrong with you? You know she's not allowed to be here.
What is she, your little pet?
Yeah. Am I your pet?
What? No!
And why do you treat me like garbage?
What?
You said Nana was sick.
She is. She is. She is sick.
Yes.
She's sick.
She's sick. She's super sick.
That's why we're here, actually.
Yeah, yeah, we're shopping. Not for us, but for her, for Nana.
For Nana.
Also, we're here to get a gift for you. We couldn't find anything that suited you, and I only have like $3.50, so it's hard.
Super hard. It's expensive.
You lie. Why do you lie? I dump your ass.
You're as cold as ice. Sorry, I just had to sing that right there. Young love. I loved Mike, first of all, freaking panicked that Eleven sees him, that he has to deal with her, but also panic because she's not supposed to be out doing this stuff. Max doesn't care. Eleven doesn't care. They continue the lie of the grandmother, and it's like, you know what? I dump your ass, which I thought was great. Mike looks heartbroken, and young Will, all he does is want to go back and play D&D. He doesn't even care. He's like, nah, can we go back and play D&D? And I think Lucas is like, no. We cut back to town hall, and there's Hopper arresting one of the protesters, which you feel bad for. The guy's like, go get a permit, and you can come back and protest. And that's when the secretary, the office manager, the receptionist, whatever you want to call her, I don't know, of the police department shows up and with a bag from JCPenney. Jim obviously sent her out to go shopping to pick up this really fancy new shirt for his quote-unquote non-date at the at Enzo's that he was meeting Joyce with. But he said, talked about how this shirt is really sharp, really hip. He shows up at the restaurant with his new shirt and his sports coat, orders a drink and some wine, and he is ready for Joyce to show up for dinner at any minute. She's going to show up. She'll be there. She'll be there any minute. She will be there. But Joyce isn't there, and she isn't coming. She's still over at Mr. Clark's house, in his workbench area, whatever you want to call it. And together, they're making a solenoid, which is a, a solenoid is a, you know what, I'm just going to let him explain what it is. I know what it is, but I'm going to let him explain it for all of you.
What is this again?
This is a solenoid. It's a coil wrapped around a metallic core, and when electricity passes through it,
it creates an electromagnetic field.
Exactamundo. Now for the fun part, shall we?
I don't see anything.
Nope. You can't see it, but it's there, I assure you. Our very own Clark Byers electromagnetic field. Pretty neato, huh?
Yeah.
And this field affects any charged object in its vicinity.
Just like my magnets.
Just like your magnets.
Okay, why is nothing happening?
Well, because our field is stable. But if we reduce the current...
How?
The magnetic dipoles try to orient according to the field, but since it's changing...
No, I mean, how is this happening at my house?
You want my honest opinion? One of your kiddos got up in the middle of the night, bumped into the fridge, and knocked the suckers loose.
And the magnets at Melvald's?
Apophenia.
Apophenia.
You're seeing patterns that aren't there. Coincidence.
But what if it's not?
Well, theoretically speaking, I suppose some large version of this AC transformer could exist. A machine of some kind.
A machine?
But in order to reach your house and downtown, gosh, that would take billions of volts of electricity and cost tens of millions of dollars.
But it is possible.
We cured polio in 53, landed on the moon in 69. As I tell my students, once you open up that curiosity door, anything is possible.
Yeah, I know that clip was long, but I really wanted to include it here because I liked him explaining what the solenoid is. Did I say solenoid or solenoid? I don't know. I know what it is, obviously, but I'm like that he explained it to you because it kind of plays a major part in explaining what is could possibly be going on. You know, the magnets falling off the refrigerator aren't really that important, but what is causing the magnets to be falling off the refrigerator? That's kind of a giant big deal in this season of Stranger Things. And this, you know, Joyce puts nothing past what could possibly be happening in Hawkins. So if he's like, you know, this giant electromagnetic thing with billions of powers and how much money, you know, that it would take that. And she's like, okay, all right, you know, because she's seen insane stuff happening in Hawkins. So it's definitely possible that something is happening again in Hawkins, which is causing her magnets to be falling off her friggin' fridge. Now we cut back over to the mall, and guess what? Thanks to Robin, they cracked that code.
The week is long. The silver cat feeds when blue meets yellow in the west.
I mean, it just can't be right.
It's right.
Honestly, I think it's great news.
How is this great news? I mean, it's so much for being American heroes. It's total nonsense.
It's not nonsense. It's too specific. It's obviously a code.
What do you mean a code?
Like a super secret spy code.
That's a total stretch.
I don't know. Is it?
You're buying into this?
Listen, just for kicks, let's entertain the possibility that it is a secret Russian transmission. What do you think they were going to say? Fire the warhead at noon?
Exactly.
And my translation is correct. I know that for sure. So the silver cat feeds. Why would anyone talk like that unless they were trying to mask the true meaning of their message?
Exactly.
And why would anyone want to mask the true meaning of their message unless the message was somehow sensitive?
Exactly.
So I guess that confirms your suspicion.
Evil Russians.
I can't believe I'm about to agree with this strange child, but yeah, totally. Evil Russians.
So how do we crack it?
Well, I guess we translate the rest and hopefully a pattern emerges.
A pattern, right? Like maybe silver cat's a meeting place?
Or a person.
Or a weapon.
It's probably going to take a super genius to crack it, but... Where's Steve? Hey, Steve, what are you doing?
It's quarter. Do you have a quarter?
You sure you're tall enough for that ride?
Quarter!
You need help getting up, little Stevie?
Sure. Would you two just shut up and listen?
Holy shit. The music. The music!
I don't understand.
It's the exact same song in the recording.
Maybe they have horses like this in Russia.
Indiana Flyer? I don't think so. This code, it didn't come from Russia. It came from here.
You know what? You guys love Stranger Things like I do, so who cares if these clips are long? Okay, that clip had... I didn't want to cut anything out of it. The week is long, the silver cat feeds when blue meets yellow in the west. They're like, what the hell does that mean? They come up with some ideas, you know, could it be, it has to be something secretive. And that's when Steve stops and asks for a quarter to turn on that toy horsey. And it's because, remember earlier he said he knew that music, and Dustin's like, why do you care about the music? It's the same music from the recording. The code wasn't coming from Russia. It was coming from the mall. It reminds me of that old When a Stranger Calls. The call is coming from inside the house, which is a great moment because you realize the stuff that's going to be going down is going to be going down right here in Hawkins, probably right here in the Star Court. So we cut back over to the restaurant, and Hopper's still there. And what is he doing? He's just drinking, eating breadsticks, and he's all alone. He sees all these other people seeming, you know, feeding each other and kissing, and he's just getting belligerent. The waiter finally, you know, says, do you want to order your dinner? And he's like, you know what? I'm going to leave. He throws his money down. The lawyer's like, you can't leave with the alcohol. He's like, I can do what I want. I'm the chief of police. He walks out and just kind of lumbers his way out of the restaurant. Who does he bump into? He doesn't know this. The guy kind of turns and looks at him. It's that big scary dude sitting at the bar with his motorcycle helmet. The same guy that was from the mayor's office. We now cut over to our final scene in the episode. Billy's driving his car back to the steelworks factory. He gets out, opens the trunk, and who's inside? But the girl lifeguard, tied up. We cut back to, again, like I was saying, that, you know, not everything's linear. We cut back to the shower scene, and they show him jump up, attack her, and he starts choking her. Now we're back at the factory, and he carries her in. She's passed out, and he brings her down into the basement area, and he lays her on the ground, and as she's coming to, she starts freaking out and struggling.
Don't be afraid. It'll be over, son. Just stay very still.
You know, he's saying this, like, creepily standing over her. Takes the tape off her, and gets up. And he turns, and you can hear the creature in the background. As he turns, he stands, he stares at it, doesn't even look back at the girl. And all he hears is that screaming as it fades to black and the closing credits start. Whew, a lot happened in that episode, and I'd like to just take a few moments to think about what we've learned. What did we learn here? Well, for the kids, we learned that Mike's not going to get away with he's not going to get away with lying. Eleven realizes there might be more to life than just Mike, so he dumps his ass. She dumps his ass. And she actually is enjoying hanging around with Max. If you remember in season two, she was jealous of Max because Max was hanging around near Mike. She pushed her off that skateboard using her super mind powers. Now they're hanging out together and she's using her powers to blow up Orange Julius's. So they've come a long way. Jim is really happy, actually, that for, you know, a little too happy for kids breaking up, but he's just happy because Eleven needs to be doing more like what she did today. He's so happy that he wanted to take Joyce out for dinner, but Joyce, you know, she gets hyper-focused on something and no one's going to deter her. And she was hyper-focused on these magnets. So she stood Jim up and went to Mr. Clark's house where she learned that, you know, it's possible for something with a ton of electromagnetics to screw with the magnetic fields. So that could be something with immense amount of power in Hawkins. And, you know where she's thinking. You know what she's thinking of. Hopper's, you know, pissed. He got stood up. He didn't deserve that. And Mr. Clark's, his little work area, he was working with miniatures. There was a tiny little gravestone for Beetlejuice. And I thought, oh, that was cool. That's a cool connection. You know, it's like 80s and, you know, the miniatures, Beetlejuice. Oh, yeah, and the fact that Winona Ryder was in Beetlejuice. I didn't make that connection at first. When I first read that, I was like, oh, that's cool. Wait a second, Winona Ryder. So there's also this big-looking, scary dude who he is. Oh, wait a minute. He's the same Russian in the first episode that choked the Russian doctor. And now he's in Hawkins, and he's hanging out with the mayor, and he's at a restaurant, and he's looking at, he's kind of checking out Jim Hopper. What's up with that? And Billy. Billy. Well, wait, first, Nancy and Jonathan, They seem to be onto something. They don't know what it is, but there's something going on with rats and sick rats. They don't realize they're become rats of exploding goo, but something's up, and they are going to investigate this further because that's what Nancy loves to do. She is going to put her mind to it, and she's going for it. Now let's talk about Billy. You know, Billy was, for lack of a better word, an asshole in the first season, but he doesn't deserve what's happening to him. You know, you feel bad because something got him and now something's using him. And for whatever reason now, he's kidnapped this lifeguard girl, and I don't know what's going to happen, but the whatever was in the Upside Down told him they want him to build. Build what? I don't know. Build what you see, whatever the hell that means. I think that's it. I think I've covered everything in this episode. A little shorter than last week, but took me longer to get there. It's 11:30 p.m. on Friday right now, so if I get this up before midnight, that is exciting. Friends, I want to thank you so much for listening. I want to send a special thank to the Czech Republic, because I found out that I was like the number 14 TV and film podcast in the Czech Republic. I don't know how to say thank you in Czechoslovakian, I think is the proper term. So I'll just say thank you. You're obviously, you know English, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to it. So thank you. And I guess in Tunisia, I found this chart, the Chartable website that ranks all these iTunes and Spotify charts. And first of all, it seems like most of my listeners of this show are coming from Spotify, which is awesome. Thank you so much, Spotify listeners. And lastly, I got a message sent to me from a creepy Cassie. And I have, she favorited my podcast on Anchor. I went back and favorited hers as well. She sent me a message. And I appreciate the message and reaching out. Check her out. The name of her podcast is Amazing Gaming. You can find it on Anchor, and I'm sure you can find it everywhere. So I just wanted to reach out, and say thank you. And thank you to everybody for listening. I waited till the last minute, but it's worth it because I love this show. I took 6 pages of notes. This is definitely the most work I put into a podcast, but you know what? It's the most rewarding. So I'm glad I do it. I'm ecstatic that people are actually listening to this. This is so much fun. And yeah, I think that covers it. Next week, episode 3, season 3, or is it just Stranger Things 3? I don't want to say the wrong thing. But thank you guys for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for downloading. And until next week, you know, I used to say, beware the Demogorgon or beware the Mind Flayer. Right now it's like, watch out for Billy because he's building something and it's scary.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.